41. Gathered around the courthouse's large fireplace, which has been decorative for more than 100 years, but was functional before that, I start to feel warm. Enola has regained consciousness. She's sipping on and very much enjoying some Swiss Miss hot cocoa. Not only is the chocolate drink new to her, but she is mesmerized by the little sweet marshmallows. Once Levi vouched for us and our identities were revealed as being mostly Black Creek locals, not including Kuzneski or Flores, the overcrowded town returned to their individual buildings, just trying to stay warm, while Levi, their fearless leader, worked on a plan. As soon as our group was whittled down to the three McCoys, the three Dearborns, Flores, Kuzneski, Enola, and Hardy, Levi revealed his true colors, asking, begging, to know if we had a plan. He all but melted with relief when I filled him in on Synergy, the particle accelerator, the power station, and our plans to shut it down. He wasn't exactly thrilled about being stuck in the past, or maybe he was just afraid to tell generations of Black Creek residents they'd never return home. "I had a feeling you were faking it," Hardy says to Levi when I'm done explaining the plan. "Faking what?" I ask. "The confidence, the answers. The boy isn't a real leader." "Ain't gotta convince me," Levi says, then nods at me. "I just been trying to act like him." I'm flattered, but he's wrong. Isn't a leader in all of history who didn't fake it at first. And in this mess, no one knows what's happening. Near as I can tell, you've done a fine job keeping people calm, organized, and alive.
"Wasn't all me,"
Levi says. "Modesty is another good quality in a leader," I say with a smile. "But how did this happen? No offense, but you are just a kid, and no amount of acting can change that." He shrugs.
"After me and Cassie got split up, I headed for town, figuring I might be able to find help. When I got here, things were a right mess,"
Hardy says.
"Lots of fighting. Factions between time periods were forming. Tribalism was setting in. Didn't help that we had actual tribal people among us, neither."
He turns to Enola.
"No offense."
She just keeps sipping her cocoa, happy with the sweetness and the warmth.
"When I arrived in town, I broke up a fight between someone from the 1920s and someone from the 1980s.
Hardy chuckles.
"He gave them a write-off a lecture about what it meant to be a resident of Black Creek in any time. Said we was united through the generations, that most of us were kin, that the land was in our blood. Dumbest shit I ever heard, but I'll be damned if it didn't work."
"After that," Levi says,
"I told them what we thought was happening. Wasn't really answers, just theories, but I suppose it was enough. People started asking me what to do, and I started telling them."
"You did good," I tell him. "Maybe you can run for mayor."
"Well, I sure shit ain't working for you all."
After the group has a good laugh at Synergy's expense, a heavy quiet falls over us. I take a moment to take it all in. Owen and young Cassie are seated by the fire, throwing pine cones into the blaze, only half paying attention to us. They're mostly whispering to each other, picking right up where they left off the day before. Mrs. Dearborn sits nearby watching them, smiling at their closeness. My father sits beside Enola, who's wrapped up in a blanket, clutching her mug, all signs of hypothermia fading. He's not exactly doting on her. She's a strong woman and wouldn't have it. But he hasn't left her side, and near as I can tell, she's okay, if not happy with that. Kuzneski stands at the back of the room, arms crossed, his frown perpetual. Seeing himself die has shaken him to the core. I understand how he's feeling, but I admit he's got it worse. While my future version killed himself using a poison pill, Kuzneski saw his future self's head crushed in the fist of a giant. Flores stands by the meeting room's tall windows, hands clutched behind his back, at ease but vigilant. He's keeping watch as well as he can, staring out at the white-coated town, the forest, and Adele. It's Flores who breaks the silence. "Losing the light." The sun creeps toward the horizon. With all the snow, it's still pretty bright and will remain so if there's a full moon, but the temperature is going to drop, and no one wants to be outside in the dark with a bloodthirsty god of the hunt. "Dad," I say, "I want you to stay put." He's about to argue. I don't give him the chance. "People here need protecting too." I glance toward Owen, little Cassie and her mother. "I might be your son, but what we're about to do, well, it's what I do best. And having you with me, honestly, I'd be too distracted about the possibility of losing you again." My father's argument deflates. "So long as you come back, that's always part of the plan," I tell him, "but not always guaranteed." Flores, Kuzneski, Cassie takes my hand and squeezes, forcing me to say the name I'd rather leave out. Cassie and I will head for the power station.
I'd like to come too, Levi says. Finish what we started together. And I'm staying here, Kuzneski says. I'm done.
There's not even a trace of Kuzneski's good humor in his voice. Being in town doesn't mean there won't be a fight, I say. He nods at that.
But the odds are better. I'd rather be one among thousands than one among five who, I'm sorry to say, have kind of a big target on their asses. Langdon's not going to take our disappearance sitting down.
Several faces sour at his pessimism. I wish I could say he's not right, but Langdon's response to the elder Kuzneski's death and our escape is probably not going to be gentle. Everything he has to lose is safe at Synergy. The rest of us, especially if we're threatening whatever his endgame might be, are more than expendable. And he's already proven he's willing to kill people who get in his way. And all the hands are mugged to my father and slips out from under the blanket warming her. Despite everything she's been through, her resolve might be the strongest of all of us.
I will join you.
Great, Kuzneski says, throwing his hands up. Now I look like a massive puss.
Having lifted the burden of risking his life in the woods, his humor is returning.
You can't, my father says. Not after what you...
His argument is quashed by a glance from Enola. My father raises his hands.
Never mind.
Five is enough, Flores says. He's right about that. The more people we have with us, the bigger our footprint. Most special ops, including any good guerrilla campaign, value stealth, smarts, and surprise over brute force numbers. If a mission can be completed without firing a shot, that's a win. Then again, future me brought a 6-man team against Synergy, and all but one of them is dead. I suppose the mistake that version of myself made was not knowing about the power station. Soft targets are always preferable to hardened ones. Seems Langdon managed to keep that secret for 7 straight years.
You trust all of them? Flores asks. But what he's really asking is if he can trust them with his life.
I look from Cassie to Levi to Enola.
Well, they're not operators, but they'll have our backs. Who's this guy anyway?
Levi asks, pointing at Flores.
He is from 2026, I say. Was trying to stop all this before it happened.
Only we didn't know exactly what would happen, Flores adds, just that it would be bad.
We?
Levi asks. Had a team, Flores says, and then he turns to face us. He points to me.
His team. He nods at Cassie. And hers, if you're going by who called most of the shots.
You all have future yous?
Levi's smile fades when he sees no one else sharing his sense of wonder. Then he figures it out.
You said had a team. There.
He is the last of them, I say, and now he's with us. Levi lets it go with a nod.
Future, huh? You got flying cars?
Food shortages mostly, Flores says.
Geez, Kuzneski says. No shortage of wet blankets in the future, though, huh?
Hoping to get us back on track and then deployed, I ask. What's the weapons situation?
Shit ton of shotguns, a few ARs and a boatload of hunting rifles, pistols and blades, good number of bow and arrows, too.
Think people will give up a few? I ask.
Well, if they know what they're being used for.
Artie grunts as he stands from his chair.
I'll go rustle up what I really don't want to join Team Wet Blanket, but you know all the guns in town won't do shit against that thing.
Artie's face twists with confusion. But what Kuzneski says next makes the old-timer forget all about it. Kuzneski steps into the middle of the room, looking out of the mountain-facing windows where Adele is front and center.
And that?
A billowing wave of distortion explodes up from the mountaintop, spreading high into the sky and outward at a rapid pace. Despite being several miles away, it's going to reach us in seconds. In awe, I step closer to the window, looking up into the sky. The wave is miles high already and careening toward us. The mountain blurs, its color shifting from dark gray and white to vibrant green.
This is bigger, I think. This is going to hurt. Everyone get down!
I shout before diving to the floor. A moment later, a tidal wave of time and space slams into Black Creek and through my body. Despite being relatively accustomed to the after effects, there's nothing I can do to prevent myself from being thrown across the floor. like the occupants of a cruise ship in a storm, were tossed to the backside of the room and compressed against the wall with a collection of furniture. It hurts, but I'm grateful for the wall and for not being atop Synergy, where the flux moves vertically. My stomach sours, but doesn't convulse. Everyone else seems equally accustomed to the physical effects, struggling to recover, but not lost in agony or confusion. A low moaning honk sounds from outside. The hell is that? I wonder, and I push myself up and out of my discomfort. I stagger back to the window where I'm joined by Cassie. Our approach slows when we see the landscape. Aside from Adele, the mountains are gone. And the forest, it's vast and lush, tropical by the looks of it. The honk sounds out again, drawing my eyes down to Main Street, which is now layered in 2-foot-tall grass and contains a very confused animal. Cassie takes my hand, squeezing tightly.
Is that?
Yeah, I say. It's a dinosaur.